What you are about to hear, the views and opinions expressed on the Philip D. Blackman Show do not reflect the views of this station. You have been warned.
I'm former Vice President Joe Biden. The Philip D. Blackman Show is going to kick me in the nuts tonight because I suck as a president. Enjoy the show as I try to remember who shit in my pants.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Happy hump day. I don't know if anybody's told you that so far yet, but hey, I wanted to be the first. Let you know, guys, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. Our continuing coverage of episode number 282, episode called Reshaping America. Last week we talked about the whole gender identity, gender crisis into schools. Well, now we're looking at another episode, or another way of looking at Reshaping America. We're talking about the government versus we the people. So tonight I'm going to shift my focus, and I want to focus on the behavior of our government. The obvious truth is that so many people refuse to see the government just does not care about you. I suppose that the only thing they care about is growing their own power. I mean, that seems to be the kind of running joke. I mean, we're watching in real time the government grow their power. They're weaponizing their agencies against the very citizens that they took an oath to protect. The citizenry who is not in lockstep, so to speak, with the narrative and the agenda, those people are called terrorists. They're growing. They're arming their agencies like the FBI, the DOJ, the IRS, the DHS, to swiftly move in silence and label any dissenter as an agent of Russia or domestic terrorist. Well, tonight, I'm going to be a dissenter. I'm going to show you what the government's doing to this once great nation. Well, guys, if you want to leave a comment or want to participate in the show, social media are your great options. And right now, we are broadcasting live on Facebook at the Philip D. Blackman Show. We're broadcasting on YouTube at the Philip D. Blackman Show. We're Twitter and Twitch at the PDB Show. And, of course, over on LinkedIn, we're getting out there. We're growing. We're letting people know where we are and when we are and what we're doing. So, guys, if you want to leave a comment, I always recommend, hey, jump into social media feeds if you want. Leave a comment. I'll put your comment up on the screen. We'll address it. Or you can call the show to the number on my screen at 409-245-9753. Again, to my listeners across the airwaves, it is 409-245-9753. So to all my listeners across the nation around the globe, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you joining me for this episode 282, Reshaping America, Government versus We the People. So for my first time listeners, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show and we call it End of Watch. This is our way of honoring our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. Last year, 2021, we had 639 officers die in the line of duty. And as of this show, we're at 169. Now we get those numbers from the Officer Down Memorial page. That is the best information that we have out there. If you know someone that keeps up with something better, man, drop me a line and let me know where I can keep up with better numbers than that. But if you go to the Officer Down Memorial page, you're going to see a quote, and we agree with it. When a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer, it is an entire nation. We honor all of our officers who serve and those who have given their life in service to their community and their country, and we highlight a different officer every week, beginning with the Monday show. This week, friends, we're going to continue covering and honoring Pima County, Arizona's Constable's Office, Constable Deborah Martinez Garibay, in this opening segment, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Constable Deborah Martinez Garibay, 43, of the Pima County Constable's Office in Arizona, who was shot and killed on August 25, 2022, while serving an eviction notice at an apartment complex. Constable Martinez Garibay served her department for just 5 short months. She also spent 16 years in the United States Army and ran the Tucson chapter of an adaptive golf program for veterans called PGA Hope. When asked in a March interview by The Star why she wanted to join Pima County Constable's office, she said, "I just felt it was wrong for me to sit at home when I knew that I could contribute. I knew that I had to go serve my country, and it's the same thing with serving my community. I can see a need. For me to sit and watch things happening in my community or my country and not take part is wrong." Constable Martinez Garibay is survived by her husband, daughter, parents, siblings, and numerous nieces and nephews. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Constable Martinez Garibay. Pima County, Arizona Constable Deborah Martinez Garibay. End of watch, August 25th, 2022. Rest in peace, ma'am.
We are proudly sponsored by One of a Kind Art 43, created by professional artist Tammy Blackman. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces are, as the name suggests, is one of a kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she is done, there will never be another. If you are interested, go visit Tammy on her social media pages, Facebook and TikTok, by searching One of a Kind Art 43, where Tammy broadcasts her work and she's making custom tumblers or canvas art for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to Tammy through her email at oneofakindart43@gmail.com or call 409-234-5156. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, her social media pages are one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art and the number 43. Thank you again, Tammy, for another presence on this show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, friends. So thank you for joining me on this hump day, this Wednesday, episode 282, Reshaping America's the series. The name of the episode is The Government versus We the People, and this is the show. My name is Philip Blackman, and welcome to the Fastest Hour in Radio. Guys, let's get to it. You know, 2022 may have been the greatest proliferation in American government command and control, with its corresponding constriction in liberty. I think in my lifetime, 1979 is when I first came kicking in. You know, power has become dramatically more centralized in our federal government at the expense of the individual and their voluntary arrangements. Trillions of dollars in new programs and proposals promoted as costless to Americans, but we know that's absolute BS. The expanded regulatory abuses, the breathtaking efforts at income redistribution, it's nowhere authorized in our Constitution. While the engorgement of our federal government already implemented its proposals, it's unprecedented. In part, it follows much of the same path as earlier episodes, such as FDR's New Deal. And that's why there's wisdom to be found from those who really understood and who opposed that accumulation of power into the hands of the government, which took it out of our individual hands. This republic is grounded on the belief that the individual can govern himself. The founders frequently asserted that the primary purpose of the government is to secure private property. The American Republic was specifically designed to safeguard individual enterprises against the state. The Constitution of the United States, it sets specific limits to the power of the government so that the latter may not repress the individual. The dominant emphasis was always on self-government rather than the imposed government. On the development of society, not the expansion of the state. The individual fulfills himself through voluntary cooperation in a free society. And this implies that there's an instinctive hostility to the state with a tendency, I suppose, to assume the direction of all social functions. You know, in America, the individual retaining sovereignty instead are intended to fulfill his destiny through a free society, holding the state on a leash. But it was the late, great comedian George Carlin who said, probably in one of his most one of his last stand-up comedy routines in 2008, George Carlin, he opined that rights are not rights if someone can take them away. They're privileges. That's all we've ever had in this country. It's a bill of temporary privileges. And if you read the news even badly, you know every year that the list gets shorter and shorter. Sooner or later, the people in this country are going to realize the government, they don't care about you or your children or your rights or your welfare or your safety. It's only interested in its own power. That's the only thing, keeping it and expanding it at whatever cost. My friends, we're being played for fools. You know, on paper, we may be technically free, sure. But in reality, however, we're only as free as a government official says we are. You know, we only think that we live in a constitutional republic that's governed by just laws that's created for our benefit. And truth be told, we live in a dictatorship that's disguised as a democracy where all that we own, all that we earn, all that we say and do, our very lives, it depends on the benevolence of a government agent and the corporate shareholders for who profit off the power that will always trump principle. And now the government, it's litigating and legislating its way into this new framework where the dictates of the petty bureaucrats, they carry greater weight than the inalienable rights of a citizenry. We are in trouble, folks. You know, freedom no longer means what it once did. Ask a veteran if this is the country that they fought for. You know, it holds true whether you're talking about the right to criticize the government in word or deed or even the right to be free from a government surveillance, the right to not have your person or your property subjected to these warrantless searches by government agents. And even the warrants that are given, we pretty much know that they're, for the most part, they're a farce. You know, we've lost our right to due process, the right to be safe from soldiers invading your home, the right to be innocent until proven guilty, and every other right that once reinforced the founders' belief that it would be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Not only do we no longer live and have dominion over our bodies and our families and our property and our lives, but the United States government continues to chip away at what few rights that we still have. To speak freely, to think for ourselves. If the government can control free speech, or if they can control any speech, I should say, it can control thought, and in turn, it can control the minds of the citizenry. The unspoken freedom enshrined in the First Amendment is the right to think freely, to openly debate issues without being muzzled or treated like a criminal. In other words, we no longer have the right to tell a census worker to get off our property. We no longer have the right to tell a police officer to go get a search warrant before they dare walk through our front door or search our vehicles. If we no longer have the right to stand in front of the Supreme Court wearing a protest sign or approach an elected representative to share our views. If we no longer have a right to protest these unjust laws by voicing our opinions in public or our clothing before our legislative body. No matter how misogynistic or hateful or prejudiced or intolerant or misguided or politically incorrect they might be, then we don't have free speech. What we have instead is a regulated, controlled speech. And that's a whole other ballgame. You know, these protest laws and free speech zones and bubble zones and trespass zones and anti-bullying legislation, these zero tolerance policies, hate crime laws, and a host of other legalistic maladies dreamed up by the politicians and prosecutors. They're conspiring to corrode our core freedoms. And it's purportedly for our own good. They're saving us from ourselves. You know, for instance, you know, the protest laws that's been introduced across the country, they're supposedly in the name of public safety and limiting economic damage, but don't fall for it. Not if you're anybody who. Well, I'm not going to go there, but no matter how you package these laws, you know, no matter how well-meaning they may sound, no matter how well or how much you disagree with the protesters or you sympathize with the objects of the protest, these proposed laws, they're aimed only at one thing: discouraging dissent. So I want you to ask yourself, if there's already laws in the books, then in all of the states that address criminal or illegal behavior, such as blocking public roadways or trespassing on private property, because such laws are already on the books, then why does the government need to pass more laws that criminalizes these activities that are already outlawed? You see what's happening here? We have laws that already make some of these things very illegal, but yet the government thinks we need to add more laws. It's not for your benefit, it's for theirs. What's really going on here? I mean, no matter what a politician might say, the government does not give a shit about our rights, our welfare, our safety. How many times are we going to keep falling for these same old tricks? Every election cycle, these politicians tell us, well, I've got you. Yeah, they've got you. They've got your number. You know, every despotic measure that's used to control us and to make us cower in fear and comply with the government's dictates that has been, I guess, packaged as being for our benefit, while in truth, we're the only ones who stand to profit, the financially or otherwise, from the government's transformation of the citizenry into the criminal class, is them. I want you to think back 9/11. Remember, the Patriot Act, right? You got to give us these rights. The government told you to allow us to spy on you, or the terrorists win. It didn't work. It didn't make us any safer. It simply turned American citizens into suspects. And in the process, it gave rise to an entire industry, private and governmental, whose profit depends on its ability to undermine our Fourth Amendment rights. You know, placing these TSA agents at our nation's airports, it didn't make us any safer either. It just simply subjected Americans to evasive groping and ogling by bodily searches by government agents. And now the TSA plans to subject travelers to even more comprehensive pat-downs. So too, these protest laws, they're not about protecting the economy or private property or public roads. Rather, I suppose, they're intended to muzzle discontent and discourage anyone from challenging a governmental authority, especially if you camp out anywhere near the center or even from the center to the right over. You know, these laws, they're shot across the bow. They intended to send the strong message that the American police state, you're either a patriot who marches in lockstep with the government's dictates, or you're a pariah, you're a suspect, you're a criminal, you're a troublemaker, you're a terrorist, a radical, a revolutionary. Yet by muzzling the citizenry, by removing the constitutional steam valves that allow people to speak their minds, to air their grievances and contribute to a larger dialogue that hopefully results in a more just world, the government is deliberately stirring that pot. They create a climate in which violence becomes inevitable. You know, my grandfather used to say that when you stir a pot of crap, all you do is make it smell worse. And the government has a boat oar, right? When there's no steam valve, when there's no one to hear what the people have to say because the government representatives have removed themselves so far from their constituents, frustration builds, anger grows, and people become more volatile and desperate to force a conversation. But then again, perhaps that was the government's plan all along. You know, John Kennedy, he warned in March of 62, he said that those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Those who make peaceful resolution or a revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. We're getting there. You know, the government's making a violent revolution inevitable. I mean, truly, how do you lock down an entire nation? Well, I think as we saw real recently, right? You're so discontent and you so fear among the populace. You terrorize the people into believing that a radicalized foreigners they're preparing to invade, even through nuclear, biological, chemical, radiological, or even now viral, as we're seeing with the coronavirus. You teach these people you teach them to be non-thinkers who passively accept whatever is told to them, and we've got a whole plethora of our population who do just that, whether it's delivered by way of a corporate media or a corporate media handler, or even a government handler, if you will. You brainwash them into believing that everything the government does is for their good, and anyone who opposes the government, they are an enemy. You acclimate them to a state of martial law carried out by soldiers disguised as police officers and IRS agents and DOJ and FBI, but bearing the weapons of war. You know, you polarize them so that they can never really unite and stand against united against a tyrannical government. You create a climate in which silence is golden and those who speak, they're shouted down. Does this sound familiar in 2022? You spread propaganda, you spread lies, you package the police state in a rhetoric of politicians. And then, when and if the people finally wake up to the fact that the government is not and has never been their friend, when it's too late for peaceful protest and violence is all that remains to them as a recourse for tyranny, you use all the tools that you've been given, that you've been using and carefully amassing. The criminal database, the surveillance, the identification systems, the private prisons, the protest laws, you shut them all down for good. And once a government assumes power, constitutional or not, the government will never, ever relinquish it. The militarized police, you know, they're not going to stand down. The NSA is going to continue to collect your electronic files on everything we do. More and more Americans are going to face jail time for offenses that prior generations didn't even concern themselves with. The government at all levels could crack down on virtually anyone at any time. And that is the topic of tonight's segment, The Breakdown. You know, I tend to think that these right here, these are the times that we're living in, 2022. These are the times that try men's souls. You patriotic, law-abiding Americans have been voicing their grievances against the federal government for years, if not decades. They've called out the ever-growing administrative state that seeks control over every part of an American's life. They've called out the politicization of justice and an unequal application of the law. They've denounced the domestic surveillance of the deep state that tracks their movements. That's read their emails, that's read their text, that monitors their bank accounts without warrants or probable cause. They've urged the state governments to reclaim powers stolen by the federal authorities, and they've even begged federal politicians to return them to a system of true federalism, a separation of powers and balanced government. They've screamed at the top of their lungs for Congress to stop spending money as it doesn't have it and to fulfill its decades of promises to secure the poorest southern border and the endless illegal immigration saturating these small interior communities with crime, murder, drugs, social denigration. The federal government has refused to listen to all of it. A mere 4 years away from the 250th anniversary of the 13 colonies, Declaration of Independence from Great Britain, and really much of America now sees history repeating itself again. A tyrannical system of government that rules imperiously from the royal city walls has become every bit of a threat to human liberty today as it was 2.5 centuries ago. A faceless, unelected, unaccountable administrative army makes and enforces its own rules and uses its system of regulation and taxation to intimidate ordinary Americans into compliance and submission. a nefariously partisan Department of Justice and the FBI. They hunt political opponents and citizen dissenters as enemies of the state. Parents who speak up at school board meetings are being called domestic terrorists. An independent and obscure collection of intelligence agencies, they use their obscene powers not to keep the United States safe from these foreign attacks, no, but rather to keep the American people under the constant state of surveillance. With every tool for silencing the public debate at its disposal, the United States government seeks to make itself impervious to the will of the American voters, and they have. No nation can remain united when its corrupt politicians betray their very representative duties. No country can endure when the government views its citizens as enemies. No constitutional republic can survive when its bloated bureaucratic system undermines its own constitutional limits. Peace is not going to hold. The federal government has two chief responsibilities of the American people. The first, to protect a nation from foreign threats. And two, to maintain a limited system of government that preserves and maximizes Americans' personal liberties. It has failed in both of those duties. Instead of securing our nation's borders, the United States government concerns itself with Ukrainians. Instead of preventing Islamic terrorists from killing Americans, the FBI hunts patriotic Americans as domestic terrorists. Instead of ensuring America's energy independence and strengthening America's industrial and manufacturing self-reliance, the federal government's international trade deals and Green New Deal suicide pacts have made the United States dependent on its geopolitical enemies for survival. I want you to think back when coronavirus first happened and we needed ventilators, we needed masks, we needed all this stuff for the great big COVID pandemic. We were running out here in the United States, but yet China had all we needed. All we had to do was comply, fall in line, and get rid of some of these trade embargoes, get rid of some of these tariffs that were put in as a penalty for what they were doing to our country. Joe Biden very happily dropped his trowel, bent over at the waist, and grabbed his ass cheeks and pulled them right apart of our government and allowed another foreign entity to make the rules for how we are to behave. When we're depending on everyone else for everything that we need, we're at their mercy. And it's crazy. I don't understand how we have an American citizenry, American populace who's calling for more government. Yeah, give me that free stuff. Give me these free programs. Give me, give me, give me, give me. At the end of the day, he who has the ability to give also has the ability to take away. And I'm telling you, it's coming. We can't survive as a nanny state. Instead of safeguarding the value of the United States dollar and protecting future American generations from an unsustainable debt and deficit, these congressional budgets, man, they are far beyond anything the American taxpayer is willing to support, and they've set a monetary system on the path to its inevitable collapse. It's coming. For all the federal government's wasteful money spending and the fondness of these foreign wars that have none of our business about them, the commitment to enriching adversarial nations at Americans' expense, the intentional violations of immigration law, and the innumerable failures to stop foreign terrorist attacks on American soil, what have citizens received in return? I'll give you a second. You know, an oppressive regime that uses its religious commitment to cultural Marxism, the climate change fanaticism, overtly racist critical race theory, anti-Christian bigotry, and ever self-changing standards of political correctness is this ideological sickle and hammer for crushing American liberty, stamping out free expression, and persecuting every single free thinker that exists. The federal government and its bureaucratic agents, they despise freedom. DC's unaccountable agencies, they detest the personal privacy and the property rights of its citizenry. This regime enforces... Or these regime's enforcers, I should say, they abhor the idea of the Bill of Rights and Americans' inviolable and natural individual liberties. But why? Because rights, private ownership, personal freedoms, they're the most important checks against the illegitimate exercise of government power. American freedom is an absolute guarantee against state tyranny. And in the federal government's embrace of these communist principles we're seeing, it can't survive if the American people maintain power. You know, much is going to be continue to be written about the decision of Washington's government to raid President Donald Trump's personal residence in August of this year in search of a crime, not because of a crime, but in search of a crime, any crime. Any crime that can be used as an excuse for keeping him off the 2024 election ballot, when knowing damn well that every single president who's ever left has been guilty of the same thing that Donald Trump has done. That's right, America. Even your messiah, Barack Obama, he did it too. Bill Clinton did it too. It's disgusting. You know, what happened at Mar-a-Lago, you know, in Palm Beach, Florida, it may be one day remembered as the spark, as the spark that finally tore this nation in two. You know, it's important to remember that it's merely the latest in this long train of abuses that's been orchestrated by this federal government against the American people. When Americans made history by sending a complete outsider to Washington, D.C. in 2016, in the hopes of rectifying the decades of gross government mismanagement, remember, drained the swamp? The levers of the permanent bureaucratic state, they set to work to usurp Donald Trump's presidency. Before he was even sworn in, they was calling for his impeachment. The FBI and the DOJ, they orchestrated a massive, massive fraud against the American people by promoting and sustaining Hillary Clinton's Russian dossier, that collusion hoax, and it was meant to take down Barack Obama's successor. They impeached him twice, once while he was in and once after he was gone. And now, here we are. The weaponization of the FBI and the DOJ is attacking a former president once again. And if you think they're doing it because it's the right thing to do, think again. This is a 100%. This isn't people, and me and Tammy, we've talked about it. You know, people didn't vote Joe Biden in because he was the best. They voted Joe Biden in because he wasn't Donald Trump. And so many people, so many of you bastards out there have such an issue with Donald Trump. Look, I think he's a dirtbag too. But let's be honest. This whole idea of hating someone so much that you're willing to put in, if a broomstick, if a shop, a push broom had been on the ballot instead of Joe Biden, that push broom would have won the election because it was not Donald Trump. A disloyal and hostile deep state, they worked to sabotage this Trump administration with innuendo, illegal attacks, or illegal leaks to the press, which, by the way, out of all of the leaks throughout the DOJ, the FBI, all of this, even the Supreme Court, has anyone heard of anyone coming out saying, yep, yeah, I'm the leaker. I'm the one who leaked these documents, this investigation. I'm the one who leaked this to the press, or hey, that is the person who did it. Have you ever heard a single time where anyone, any of these leaks to the press from the federal government, has anyone ever been held accountable? Has anyone ever done an investigation to find out who it was? Has anyone asked who in the Supreme Court leaked the Roe v. Wade opinion? No. But I suppose if it was the other way around, if it was against something, if something was leaked against the Democratic Party, you bet your ass every day of the week and twice on Sundays, there's going to be an investigation. As a matter of fact, they're investigating something right now that they have no evidence, nothing to support. And we're talking about the January 6th. It's all a farce. It's all about special interests. It's about what they find worthy, not what we as the American people find worthy. You know, this unscrupulous Congress committed its own corrupt arrangement and united its efforts to resist necessary reform in the swamp, engaged in this endless investigation, this casual assault meant to weaken the president's authority. An irredeemable corporate news media, the drive-by media establishment, they ignored all of Washington's crimes while promoting its most absurd conspiracies. Donald Trump TT'd on a stripper, I guess, overseas. I don't know. And the whole wretched bunch of transformed, understandably raucous January the 6th political protest into this immoral, this shameless, this consciousness, this Machiavellian opportunity to murder, hunt down, torment, and jail their political adversaries. DC is rotten to the core. You know, this two-tier justice will deliver a certain crisis. The political union is not going to hold when George Bush's Patriot Act is used to trap Americans with a national security surveillance state. The union will not hold when Barack Obama's IRS and the FBI and the DOJ are used as sledgehammers for harassing political opponents. The union will not hold when Biden and Clinton families' decades of known criminal conduct are ignored while the federal government pursues endless and endlessly corrupt investigations unabashedly intent on Donald Trump's imprisonment. The union will not hold when a free speech is censored as misinformation. The union will not hold when a lawless deep state makes the American people its enemy. A nation divided against itself cannot stand. Roxanne Kirby says in the chat, she says, they got you by the short hairs. That's absolutely right. She says they're just waiting for us old patriots to die off. In the meantime, they're brainwashing the younger generation. You know, that's probably one of my biggest fears right there, Roxanne, is this idea that they're waiting. Because there's still a whole lot of us who remember what freedom really did look like. We still know what America looked like. We know what we had morals. We had a moral compass. And I think what they're doing is they're waiting until we're just too damn old. We either die off or we're too old to fight. And then they can go in and move their power play. I mean, if there be anyone remaining in Washington, D.C. who understands the gravity of this moment, now is the time to speak loudly and prominently before the nation pensions become an inferno. You know, the time's approaching, and if it's not already passed, when no governmental reforms or rhetorical promises is going to save what's already broken. And it's going to be in that dangerous moment, the desperate pleas from those who remain quiet today, they're going to fall on the country of deaf ears. Violence and carnage and chaos, they're going to return as they always do. And when people entrusted with great power instead choose to abuse what's in their custody, those silently complicit in the federal government's outreach today, they're going to find no such luxury should the American continent split in two. Americans have begged. They have begged for their grievance against their government to be redressed. And the federal government has chosen instead to poke them repeatedly in the eye. Anyone familiar with the American history knows that a wounded and wild American patriots, they are a force to behold. And the scariest thing is, they ain't even begun to fight. And that right there is the breakdown. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to take a quick, about a minute 30 break, and we'll be back with you on the other side. Stick around.
So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Presenting the Best of Biden Collection, now on home video. Now you can enjoy all your favorite wacky moments from America's senile old granddad.
Well, you know, gay bathhouses and everything. It's all about round-the-clock sex. It's all, come on, man.
Including sniffing a baby. Awkward hugs. Numbers are hard.
Go to Joe 30330.
Corn Pop.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Racism.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black. Uh-oh.
Stupid troops.
Clap for that, you stupid bastard. You stupid bastard. You stupid bastard.
Blank Stare. Blank Stare Part 2. Chris is Chuck.
All right, Chuck. Thank you very much.
All right. It's Chris, but anyway.
Chris. I just did Chris.
And many more.
Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone, make sure the kids hear word.
But wait, call within the next 10 minutes and receive a free copy of Kamala's Kooky Cackles. That's right. 6 full hours of ear-piercing cackles that the whole family can enjoy. Here's how to order.
I want you to imagine if the United States government targeted a foreign nation, you know, or a foreign nation state consider this approach. Our government, and again, this is fantasy land for now, but imagine if our government devalued another country's currency. If they push waves of migrants across its borders, if they undermine the security of its elections, if they removed the unifying elements of the citizens' shared history, if they stoked the flames of any racial or ethnic discord, if they spread fake news in order to incite passions of his people, wouldn't we call that a pretty effective campaign against another country? I mean, it's immoral as hell, but wouldn't it be like a hybrid war strategy, you know, for taking down an enemy without ever having to fire a single shot? I mean, does that assessment change if the hybrid war that is being fought, not against a foreign nation, but against the individual American and their citizens? What would you say to that? It's happening. For more than 40 years, Americans have begged the federal government to put a stop to illegal immigration. And instead, Congress has done nothing but push the various forms of amnesty for those whose first act, upon entering the United States is breaking our own laws. That's the very first thing. The second they cross over into America, they've already broke a law, and we're giving them amnesty for being criminals. I mean, rather than listening to the voters and securing our porous borders, lawmakers have chosen to ridicule Americans as xenophobic or racist for daring to believe that it's not healthy for the United States to have tens of millions of foreign nationals, creating a parallel nation within our own. Sex trafficking and narco-terrorism, identity theft, drained public resources, and cultural clashes have accompanied a federal government policy that can be described at best as intentionally not enforcing the existing immigration laws, or at worst, as willfully countermanding enforceable law by aiding and abetting border crossers with the promise of social welfare upon arrival in a publicly funded relocation service across the continent. And it's happening, you know, and I admit it here in Texas, Governor Abbott, and I can't remember the governor over in Arizona, but yeah, and even Florida, they're sending them north. You know, we're relocating them ourselves. I guess it's cheaper to put them on a bus and to send them north than it is to continue to feed them and house them and do everything else. But more and more Democrat-controlled jurisdictions, they're going so far as to demand that illegal aliens be given the right to vote in our elections. And it effectively nullifies the American citizens' vote with those citizens of foreign nations. If 25 million Americans, you know, and we'll call it a sensible estimate of the number of illegal aliens in the U.S. today. But if 25 million Americans crossed into Canada, they would have instantly become Canada's largest voting bloc. And it's doubtful, however, that either Canadians or the global observers would find it fair or even just for those Americans to take over power in Parliament. Yet the American government sees no such problem replacing its own voters with those from other countries. And speaking of our border, we have a border czar who's only been there once. She was 100 miles away from the epicenter of the greatest part of the greatest point of our immigration crisis. We have a president who we have a border crisis. This sumbitch has never been to the southern border, not as the president, not as the vice president, and not as a senator. 409-245-9753 is the number. Episode 282, Reshaping America. We're calling it government versus we the people. You know, and you look at the election side of it, right? You know, we have 100 million lotteries in America that sell tickets at every hole-in-the-wall gas station from the middle of the Nevada desert to the remote Maine wilderness. And when a winning jackpot number comes up, these winning ticket holders, they're identified almost immediately. Yet, a national political election arrives, and it takes days, if not weeks, for the nation to discover who is the winner. Only third world banana republics and the United States of America conduct elections with so few identification requirements for voters and so few security protocols for safeguarding ballots. Think back 2020, right? The illogical result is that only 20% of Americans are very confident in election outcomes. They are legitimate. A reasonable person might expect national politicians to comprehend the widely held belief that their vote fraud is prevalent and its debilitating vulnerability for both American and national security and even the domestic political stability. Government officials, however, they're more offended by Americans questioning the election outcomes when a Republican wins when a Democrat wins than by the elimination of the secret ballots, the transformation of voting day into voting season, the imposition of mass mail-in balloting by a judicial fiat, the construction of parking lot drop boxes or for anonymous and unsecured ballot stuffing, the late night ballot dumps, the private contractors hired by these tech companies to manipulate elections, and truckloads of votes just simply disappearing. Democrats see all these election abominations. They ignore their myriad openings for voter fraud, and they insist on reframing them as voting rights. Normal people look at them in horror, and they shout that we have a corrupt election in America. The January 6th Commission, they hear these people. They learn nothing, and they cry out domestic terrorist. You know, nations of people without any sense of a shared history or purpose, they don't remain very long. You know, tearing down these statues, it destroys the collective memory of our past. Reimagining America's founding as some evil paradise for slaveholders instead of the triumph of human liberty that it was. It cheapens all the struggles Americans have endured together for freedom. Fixating on skin color, it serves no purpose other than to just salt the land with hate and discontent and division. You know, choosing to vilify our local law enforcement as white supremacists while celebrating citywide arson and destruction and mayhem in the name of racial justice, right? They only assure that justice for all disappears for good. Why is the Secretary of Education committed to pushing a critical race theory, and especially in our public schools, while accusing, you know, concerned parents of being domestic terrorists? Why does the Department of Homeland Security and the Federal Bureau of Investigations push white supremacy for the most lethal domestic terrorism threat a half a century after Jim Crow? Why does the White House routinely demonize its Republican opponents as being malicious racist, not at all different from George Wallace or Bull Connor, which, by the way, were both Democrats? And with a straight face tomorrow night, Joe Biden is going to give a speech. He's going to address the nation, and it's called The Soul or For the Soul of America. You know, disparaging the local policing as institutionalized racism. They're descendants of slave patrols. So that must make them illegitimate. You know, it's had a predictable effect of increasing crime across the country. You know, falsely accusing white Americans of being irredeemably racist, it's had the predictable effect of dividing a country along its racial lines. Rewriting Americans' history so that the country's steady pursuit of human freedom is intentionally stricken from the record has had the predictable effect of convincing many Americans that nothing about their nation's past is worth preserving. So why would a rational government seek to divide Americans by race unless its mission is to destroy national unity for good? You know, we have this relentless central bank right now, this money printing, and it's exploding the federal government debt. The international abandonment of American blue-collar manufacturing jobs in exchange for free trade, the promises of a cheaper imports and greater Wall Street profits have done more to hurt ordinary Americans than the foreign threat ever could. Thousands of impoverished and blighted towns across the country, they serve as painful testaments to those policies. Meanwhile, the wealthiest 1% of Americans have never been richer. The middle class has descended into poverty. There is no middle class anymore. What kind of government intentionally depreciates the value of the dollars paid for the workman's labor, cripples his children's future with unserviceable debt, and then sends his job overseas so the things that he can no longer afford are built by people he no longer knows? What kind of government sacrifices the abundant natural resources of its own lands so that it's dependent on oil and steel and minerals and rare earth materials from foreign nations and enemies? What kind of government sacrifices a labor force spread across the continent so that a small number of tech and finance companies or tech and finance employees and a handful of coastal elites can truly prosper while at everyone's expense, including mine? It's as if this United States government has set out to make a broad swath of American people as dependent on this government welfare as the government is dependent on the critical resources coming in from foreign dictators. How could that possibly be a formula for American safety, security, and survival? If we're being honest with ourselves, and surely we would ask whether the government of the United States has quietly declared war on the people of the United States, Or is that really a question that's no longer permitted in this new era of government-sanctioned censorship? Conservative radio show, conservative talk show hosts all across social media, they're being blacklisted, they're being shadow banned, they're being outright given the middle finger. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump's platform called Truth Social, it has now been removed from Google Play and whatever the crap iPhone uses. It's been removed off of their platforms. For what reason? They say it's because of the lies and the misinformation. You know, I can't imagine that anybody on the political left would have an account to Truth Social to have any type of healthy discord. No. Those are people in their own echo chambers. And they did the same thing to Parler, and now they're doing the same thing to Truth Social. So the idea, what we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, is this government is going on a consorted effort to silence any voices that speak out against them, to include mine. They've done it to me a lot. That's why I tell people, man, you know, hey, social media are great options. Absolutely. But I tell folks, if you want to pay attention, if you want to catch up with what I'm doing, check out my podcast over on Spotify and iHeart and iTunes. And, you know, check out those areas. Check out the radio stations of my affiliates, the AOW Radio Network, the IPM Nations, the Raw Talk Onlines, and coming soon, About Face Radio. The government is on a deliberate attack against voices that go against their narrative. Anybody that speaks, regardless if it's truth or not, but let's talk about the truth. Anybody that speaks the truth that is from the right, that is from the center right, even from the center, those people are silenced. Why? Because they're afraid. You know, I've told folks for a long time that the most dangerous thing against the government or a tyrannical federal government is a well-educated citizenry. And the best way that they can make sure that you're well-educated to their talking points is to silence the ones that go against them. Friends, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with you here in about 60 seconds. Stick around.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Wearing nothing but a whistle and a clipboard, you're living the real American dream. Getting paid to think up fun things to do naked.
Running free.
Sure, there's danger. Vinyl chairs, sunburns, chafage, and lawn darts completely out of the question.
Watch out now.
Your keen instincts tell you to stick to activities that involve lots of bouncing and jiggling. And if that doesn't work, who cares? You're all naked.
It's your birthday.
So this bud's for you, nudie boy. We all know when the going gets tough, the tough get naked.
Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
All right, friends, as we wrap up tonight's show, I wanted to pose just to have a brief wrap up here. Try to shine a different light on what we're looking at. Would any of you out there ever expect a gang of crooks to really care about their victims? Do you think that the neighborhood thief would ever look after you, look out for you? Would you trust the mafia, Don, to keep you safe? I mean, if you answered no to those questions, then why in the world would you ever expect the government to care about you? You are not the government's customer. You are not a citizen they represent, nor are you a person they care to help. You are their victim, and they wish to extort you. Before diving any further, it's important to note that the state receives its wealth through violent coercion. You know, if you're a rightful owner of your body and the rightful owner of your goods that is acquired through original appropriation or voluntary means, then no man or no woman has the right to dictate what you got to do with your person or your property. Therefore, the individuals that call themselves the government, they have no rightful authority over your person or your property. We can rationally deduce then that taxation is theft, because these individuals, they have no right to threaten you with violence if you don't give them your money i.e. 87,000 IRS agents, new IRS agents, who are well-armed and given their marching orders. So if taxation is theft, then the state really serves no meaningful purpose except to answer their desires, or except to squelch the desires of the individuals who reap the benefits of this extortion. You know, politicians, they don't serve you, they serve themselves. If they represented you in any meaningful way, they wouldn't steal from you. They get away with this egregious crime by maintaining a monopoly over very important services like defense and courts and roads. Since they are the sole provider of these services, they are able to easily maintain the illusion that they represent your best interest when we can empirically discern that they that instead represent themselves. And recognizing this truth is imperative in understanding the context surrounding these current events that we're seeing in the United States. In light of the most recent mass shooting that we've had, there's been calls to enhance powers of the governments around the world so that they can effectively combat violence and to keep their citizenry protected. But wait a minute. We already have laws that do just that, but yet the government is saying, hey, we can do it better if you give us more. Good luck ever getting it back. The government doesn't care about you. No government in anywhere in the world, I don't care what country you are in, no government cares about you. They simply care about themselves. And when you demand that they increase, when you demand that they increase their powers in order to keep you secure, they win. You lose, and you're now neither free or secure. If you wouldn't ask the mafia to keep you safe, then for the very same reasons, you should not expect the government to keep you safe. You are their victims and their tax slaves. They only care that you continue to believe the illusion that their authority is necessary and is just. And it's time that America wakes up and realizes that there's no such thing as government, for there are only individuals. As basic economics shows us, men are naturally self-interested, and they'll always seek to improve their living conditions in the most expedient way possible. These individuals that call themselves the government, they're just as susceptible to that as the rest of us. And they operate on extortion in order to improve their well-being. For you and I, we got to work hard. We got to become skilled individuals. We got to have a fruitful number of voluntary interactions in order to improve our standard of living. For the individuals that call themselves a state, all they got to do is grow their power. It's for this reason they don't give a shit about you. And why should you? And truly, I guess, why should you not let yourself continue to fall prey to their masterful trickery? Otherwise, the terrorists win. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for me tonight. I appreciate you guys carving out a piece of your Friday to join my show. Thank you so much, man. We seek to provide a middle ground analysis, but remain consistent to that inconvenient truth. So many people refuse to see. This government does not give a shit about you. You are nothing to them, and they will do anything they can to squelch your voice. They will do anything they can to stomp you down and to silence you. And for those of you who are enjoying the power shift of the political, because your team is winning, I'm telling you, I've said it time and time again, the pendulum always shifts. It's going to go, right now it's on the far left, but I'm telling you here, just, man, I'm telling you, it's inevitable. The pendulum will always make itself over to the right, and then when the right starts using the laws that the left put in place for themselves, they're going to call them terrorists. They're going to call them tyrannical. They're going to call them illegitimate. You know, friends, we are a supporter of free speech and free thinking, and we're a dedicated enemy to hypocrites and liars and promoters of mob justice, racism, and bigotry, but it doesn't matter because I don't subscribe to the notions in their step, and that's okay. So until next time, friends, well, thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much for your patriotism to this country. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like yourself, our country would be a very different place. We're the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos, friends, and don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt ever. Stay on your feet. Continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your freedom, think a veteran. If you love your peace, think a police officer. If you see a first responder, give them a high five and a handshake. Tell them job well done, because they're still grinding while we're doing the best we can. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America, or wherever you may live. Take care of yourselves, friends. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here. Until next time, friends, my name is Philip Blackman, and I'm out of here.